Yes, I want to show you a tour of the house. This is actually, as you walk in, we will have an on-site career center here. Goodwill will be one of our sponsors and our partners.
Laura Griffin is the CEO and founder of RAFA, Inc., the Center for Empowering Women. Griffin started the project in order to help young women aged 13 through 17 experiencing removal from their homes by the state. The center will hold 10 young women in crisis, allowing them to stay for 30 to 45 days. During that time, the center, which is located on the outskirts of town in East County, will help them find jobs, make connections, write resumes, and provide routine wellness checkups and women's health education.
So I wanted to create a program where young women felt empowered, they found resources, and they could transition back into their community. So
Griffin, who is also a foster parent, says she started RAFA, which means healing in Swahili, because she wanted things to be better for girls in this community after the experiences she had as a teenager.
I was never in foster care, but I've been in situations where I was taken out of my home. I had to be placed outside of my home. And when back in New Jersey, back in 89, when my situation, I was placed in a boarding home. And I was placed in a boarding home with mentally ill people. And I didn't have anything but, you know, some substance abuse issues. So that was, and just behavior, attitude, and things like that. So I was placed more in a boarding home setting because there was nothing else for me in my community.
Griffin says a major issue is that many Yuma County children are sent to Phoenix.
As a foster parent, you see the young ladies, whenever they're taken out of their home, they have to go to Phoenix, Tucson, or Parker, or somewhere throughout the state. Nothing's in Yuma that a foster parent wants to be able to. There's not a lot of foster homes here in Yuma for teenage girls.
And that is an unfortunately true statement. Mary McGee, who has been with the Arizona Division of Family Safety, formerly known as Child Protective Services, since 2005, says that as of this year, there are 324 children in foster care in La Paz and Yuma counties. And those numbers are increasing every year. But there are only around 60 foster homes in Yuma County. McGee says it becomes difficult to place foster kids, teens especially.
Well, we have three agencies in town who license foster homes. And, you know, we have some of them that may have beds. But there, we'll be honest with you, a lot of foster families don't have become licensed for teenagers. And obviously younger children as well. So we have to look up to Phoenix, usually Maricopa County, that we have to transport them up and place them up in Maricopa County.
McGee, who is a foster parent herself, says the agency does its best to keep the kids in the community, but it sometimes just isn't possible. Some of the worst barriers, she says, include a lack of resources, a lack of willing foster parents, and a lack of funding.
To be honest, foster parents, and I'll speak for myself as well as other foster parents, we have lack of services. I don't want to say it's totally all lack, but it's just we live in a rural community where we don't have all of the availability that you would get in a larger city.
So what don't we have that we could have or we should have, in your opinion?
The children need counseling. I mean, we do have some agencies in town, but when you figure how many children or even children who are not in a state's custody that are going through counseling, we don't have enough. Partnerships, Boys and Girls Club, Big Brother, Big Sister, I don't even think we have that in our agency or in our city anymore. We used to have it at one time, but unless they've come back, there was lack of funding, so that went away. That was a big support for some of our younger kids and teenage kids.
Yet despite the state of things, McGee says she is positive about the future of the foster care system.
We are hopeful that it's going to get better. I really do think it's going to be a long haul, not only for our division that is no longer under DES, but for our stakeholders, foster care. But I truly believe that we are on the right path. I think it's going to get better, but it's going to take a team.
Part of that team is a special program for aged out and soon to age out foster kids called the Independent Living Program, which is dedicated to teaching foster children how to live on their own. Marina Dominguez, who has been a case manager for the ILP for 15 years, says because some of these kids have never had a stable home, they often aren't familiar with even some of the most basic skills. As a result, the Independent Living Program offers lessons on everything from how to do laundry to simple economics.
And they meet with them 3 times a month. And they, for example, 1 month, they talk about budget. And they teach them how to open a bank account. They teach them how to do checks, those kind of things.
The ILP provides subsidies of $715 each month to pay for food and living expenses for those in the foster system up until the age of 21. The subsidies lower by $85 every 6 months. But these subsidies have several conditions.
Part of the policy for the independent living program is they have to be in school full-time or working full-time. Or it could be part-time working and part-time in school.
Cristina Munoz is in the ILP and will turn 17 in a few weeks. She says the road she took to becoming an independent adult was a shaky one that began at the age of 10 when she was removed from the care of her mother, a woman with mental illness and drug problems. Cristina was adopted but was later sent back to CPS.
I had a sexual relationship with an 18-year-old when I was 14. And they decided that they couldn't deal with the issues that came along with that. So therefore, they signed the rights over again to CPS. And then I was put into another foster home. And then they moved out of town and I went with him. And I was not doing good. I was getting involved in drugs. I was drinking. I was not staying at their house anymore. So then I wanted to come back to Yuma.
Where were you? What town?
I was in Holbrook, Arizona.
Cristina later came back to Yuma, was moved around to different foster parents, and eventually decided she wanted to live on her own, in contact with her mother. Besides Cristina, KAWC also met with another woman who has been through Yuma County's foster system. Jessica Milner was born in Wheeling, West Virginia, 20 years ago, but her father moved her biological family to Yuma when she was a young child. At her adoptive family's house in East County, sitting across from her adoptive mother, Jessica says she was put into foster care at the age of 3, along with her 4-year-old sister. But the reason for being put into care is difficult for Jessica to put into words.
Along the lines of sexual abuse, but there was quite a bit of upward age grooming. My hair had been bleached and my ears were pierced. Yeah, and I don't remember a lot of that, thank goodness, and I'm not sure what my sister remembers, because we were both very young. I know she remembers more, but we got pulled out before really anything could get escalated into even worse than it already had been.
After being put into foster care, she was sent from home to home. Jessica estimates she was moved up to 10 times between the ages of 3 and 7. Jessica had been in homes in Phoenix and Yuma, had been separated from her biological sister, and had been in homes both good and bad. While volunteering for Child Protective Services a few years ago, she ran into her former case aide. Out of interest, Jessica asked her to confirm some of the memories she wasn't certain were reality or the figment of her young imagination. Unfortunately, they were true.
One of the foster moms, quote-unquote, that I had lived in, she was in Phoenix, and I actually don't remember her name, but I remember she had a daughter, and she had cows and horses. However, her way of disciplining both me and my sister was she would use an electric cow prodder to discipline us. So every time that we did something not up to par with what she wanted us to do, she would shock us with the cow prodder.
By the time Jessica was adopted by Kelly Milner, a deputy with the sheriff's department, and his then wife when she was 7, she had seen a tumultuous childhood that left her with an unclear definition of the word family. After Kelly Milner divorced and remarried to her current mother, Paula, 10 years ago, it further complicated that definition. But now, having accepted Paula as her mother, welcomed an adopted little sister, and reconnected with her biological sister, Jessica says she now has a much clearer understanding of what family means.
I think family is definitely based upon love at the very core. You have to have love in order to have a family in any term. And family doesn't necessarily mean related.
Jessica says that stability is what helped her succeed. In fact, It is something she wonders about often.
What would my life be like had I not been with the support system that I had, my family? I honestly don't know, but I can probably guarantee it wouldn't have been good.
Foster children in the state of Arizona often face cruel circumstances, bleak statistics, and a carousel of changing places and faces. Family often represents pain more than it does support and love. In rural Yuma County, foster children whose lives have already been thrown into turmoil are sent to unfamiliar surroundings because their hometown doesn't have the resources available to help them. With all this and an underfunded, understaffed state agency struggling to keep up with increasing caseloads, Jessica Milner's question becomes all the more relevant. For KAWC's Arizona Edition, I'm Maya Springhawk, Robnett.